Back to another installment of Bluish Podcast. I am your host, Madison. This is episode 10, which really doesn't seem like that much, but that's like, I started this in October, so it's like 10 weeks of Bluish at least, which is pretty crazy. And I'm so excited that I'm still remaining consistent with this, because I think the biggest thing with trying to get into something and be an artist and thrive in your authenticity is consistency, because I think that we can get so scared and we start to think that we're being cringe or that people aren't going to accept us or that XYZ, like so many things, right? But you're here to be at peace with your life. You're not here to make the people around you at peace with your life. Does that make sense? Let that like seep in deeply, like this tea. Let it seep, okay? You have to be at peace with your life more than the people around you are at peace with your life. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I could care less what my family or my friends think about me. Thank God I have amazing friends where I wouldn't even have to question if they're okay with what I'm doing, because they love me enough that even if I don't align with how they feel or what they do in their life or their spiritual beliefs, they love me for me, because I'm living in my authenticity and I'm at peace with what I'm doing for myself. Therefore, they're at peace with it. And I feel like, gosh, we're getting to just hopping into this so deep, which is good. I'm going to talk about parents for a little bit. It depends on the type of parents you have. You might have amazing parents that have always supported you, always been like, you know what, baby, do what you want to do. Do what you got to do in life. We're going to love you and support you regardless. Or you might have had parents where, I don't know, you may feel like they've led you astray a little bit. Or if you go left instead of going to their version of right, they're going to feel some type of way. The family's going to talk about it, X, Y, and Z. I'm here to tell you, you do it regardless of if the family talks about you. Because guess what? They're going to keep living in their victim mentality. They're going to keep living in their miserability. That's a word. They're going to keep living in their gossip talk. They're going to keep doing all those things. And you're going to be over here minding your business and your legacy's business, because you're building your own legacy. You don't have to stay a part of this family legacy, whatever it is. I'm not even saying it's a bad legacy. And your parents and your family should not make you feel bad for wanting to disconnect from the programming of the American dream. Right? Is it really the American dream to be in this programming of the world? They programmed into us what the American dream is supposed to be. And we all just were like, yeah, that's great. Well, everybody else is doing it. Everybody's working till they're 65 and then they retire. I don't care if everybody's doing it. That's how they get y'all. They make y'all think because it's common, it's normal. Let that seep. They make you believe that because it's common, it is okay and it is normal and your body is meant to function within those parameters. Just because everybody's doing it and that's the way society's done it, or this is how, what taxes, this and the third, this is what we do. I just want you to ask yourself if you're going to be the one that's going to choose to not participate in the programming has been pushed upon you, unless you align with that. Okay, listen, Bluish is about being black and white together. It's like it's this gray area in between, right? For some people, that works for them. You do what works for you, but I also just want you to think, especially with everything going on in the world right now that you're seeing. First of all, I want you to ask yourself if it's just a coincidence. Oh, the world is just a crazy, scary place. Or are these systems and these things falling because they need to? Okay. Now, I know I just went all over the place and I sounded very conspiracy theorist. I sounded very just woo-woo. But sometimes y'all just need to think real deeply and not be spoon-fed information. Like, maybe in a sense I'm spoon-feeding you, but I'm really not. I'm asking you questions for you to make these inferences and these thoughts on your own. You know, think about everything that's going on in the world right now. Think about the book of Revelations. Think about what the planets are saying, whatever you believe. And you ask yourself, how do I want to participate in all of it? What can you truly control with everything that's going on in your life? How can you make sure you're straight so you can alchemize all this heavy energy and all of these pressures that are being put on you by life and society, marriage and friends and kids or whatever? What is like, you know, we're going to have to alchemize a lot of energy in the coming years, I think. And whatever your spiritual practice is, I think now is the time you really dive deeper into it. Because if you are not moving with faith, you're mostly moving with fear or by what the powers that be are telling you. You're going to maybe, possibly, allegedly, supposedly have a difficult time alchemizing all of the energy that's going to be happening the next few years, I think, personally. So getting your spiritual beliefs, whatever you do, Jesus, Yeshua, Yahweh, Allah, whoever, you have a spiritual practice and you practice faith each and every day, because you're only in control of what you can control. And there's a lot of things that you think you can control that you cannot control. And that's when your faith has to come into play. That's when your spiritual practice has to come into play. That's when your surrender has to come into play. Some of y'all want to control the outcome so bad, but like I say, you do not know what God is doing until you know what he is doing. Therefore, surrender. Whatever is meant to happen when you surrender will happen, and it will happen the way it's supposed to, because you're now choosing to step into alignment. You're saying, hey, I'm going to shove this. I'm going to put this down. God, I trust you to make shake in my life what you want to make shake for my soul journey and for my path in my life. I choose not to control it, because when I try to control it, I get out of alignment. I get into messy situations. I get into heartbreaking situations, whatever it is. So choosing to surrender is powerful, okay? Choosing to feel your emotions is powerful, because when you pent up your emotions, that's when sickness manifests. That's when physical illness manifests. That's when so many things manifest. They say, just keep it pushing, keep it pushing. You're going to push yourself off of a cliff if you keep it pushing with your emotions and you don't feel it and you deny what you're feeling, or you say, oh, why am I feeling? Don't ask yourself why you're feeling like this. You feel what you're feeling and you try to make sense of it the best way you can, and you pray through it and you ask yourself, what are these emotions telling? And then by feeling them and choosing not to shame yourself for feeling the emotions, therefore you get through them quicker or more efficiently. You're not pondering for months or years or weeks when you just allow yourself to feel what you need to feel. You got to halt your flesh sometimes in order to feel those emotions. You run into alcohol, you're running to drugs, you're running to sex, you're running to the video game, you're running to, I'm going out every weekend because I cannot sit with my own thoughts and my own emotions at home. You have to halt your flesh in order to hear the voice of God. I'm sorry. I know y'all don't like to hear that. You are going to have discipline with your flesh if you want more direction and a deeper connection from God. And I'm not saying God is not talking to you because you're smoking weed or because you're having sex or because you're eating trash food. I'm not saying that at all. Everybody's story with God is their own and different. This is just a perspective. When you are infiltrating your flesh, your avatar, our body, whatever you want to call it, our vessel, with external things that make your nervous system overreact or underreact, or they make your cells go into a frenzy, or you're so highly caffeinated that you're struggling with anxiety. And anxiety is faith in the negative. Okay. When you're anxious and you're over worrying and overthinking, that is faith in the negative. Okay. You're putting in seed oils into your body. You're eating foods that your body ancestrally does not like, and so your body is malfunctioning. Therefore, within your flesh, you are struggling to hear the voice of God. Fasting is a huge, huge, huge thing in many spiritual practices, and we fast for a reason, because when you fast, your cells get a break, okay? fasting literally, I think it's called autophagy, something like that. It's like 19 hours with no food. Your cells begin to dump waste. They begin to cleanse themselves. Isn't that amazing? Our body is the most amazing mechanism on earth. We have all this technology around us, but it's our body that is the most divine and intricate technology if we know how to treat it right, right? So when you fast, you open up your body and your pathways to tap in with your heart more, to tap in with your, you can hear your voice, your true voice, your soul voice, not your fear voice, not your shame voice. You can hear your voice and the voice of God so much clearer when you fast. Now, it even goes deeper than just fasting from food. When you fast from technology, when you fast from getting on your phone an hour before bed, that deepens your connection to a higher power. You hear things differently. Your thoughts, you're like, whoa. You'll have a thought pop in your mind. And to me, that's the best way that God plants seeds. You'll just have this random thought pop in your mind and be like, wow, I didn't think of that. Wow, maybe I am thinking of this situation differently. Wow, let me get on my knees and pray. Sometimes when you just get on your knees and you don't even know what to say to God, you just start talking. Be like, Lord, I'm on my knees. I'm praying. It's 8 o'clock at night. I'm so thankful for my beautiful bed sheets and to sleep in organic cotton. And God, just thank you for the gift of cotton. Thank you for the gift of being able to have my home. Just start thanking God. Start thanking. And then start putting and casting your worries on him. My Lord, I'm worried. I am so worried about this. And I know I shouldn't be worried because you got me. You know, you got me. So why am I even worried? Now that I'm saying this, I'm like, oh, okay. I'm just going to give it to you and I'm going to release it. And now I feel so much better because you just spoke that out loud. Then when you speak things out loud, your brain reprograms. Repetition with your brain is so important. So if you tell yourself every day, I am so thankful for my beautiful body, my beautiful face, and I love myself more each day. Eventually, you're going to actually believe. Even if you don't believe it today, even if you believe you are an ugly duckling and this and a third, which you're not, nobody is. Beauty is subjective, okay? You will eventually believe it. I promise you. You just got it. Consistency and discipline. I am telling you. Now I keep going on a tangent, Lord. Oh, Lord have mercy. Let me take a sip. I have some ginger tea in here. Citrus ginger tea with heavy cream. I have to tell you guys about my trip to Hot Springs, okay? And how God truly works in my life. And this is an example of kind of the things I was just talking about. So this will be good. The holidays were such a blessing, right? And they were so much fun. And I had such a good time. And I love the holidays. But I did feel a lot of grief over the holidays just for things that had happened to me. Like I was in reflecting mode. Like things that, not things that had happened to me, but things that I went through this year. I started to feel some grief about it. And I started to just feel some like, intensity. Now, it didn't help. This is why I say sometimes like with women, our hormones, and I'm still in the process of balancing mine out. I'm not perfect. I'm still balancing mine out. And this is a testament of that. I was on my cycle during the holidays and my baby, that PMS already was messing it up. But then being on my cycle too, baby, this brain just was acting sad. So me and God was just talking. I was like, Lord, I just want to get out of here for New Year's. Like, I do not want to be in Oklahoma another holiday. Like, I've been here my whole life. I'm one of those people, I've been rooted here, and God is calling me to uproot more. Okay, move around a little bit. I'm like, God, if you send me, like, I don't even think I gave him a price. I was just like, if you send me the money, I'm going somewhere. And in my mind, I've been wanting to go to a Hot Springs place all year. And there is a place I want to go to in New Mexico. It's called Ojos Calientes. And I was like, dang, that's 8 hours. I don't really want to drive 8 hours on New Year's Eve, you know? So in my head pops Hot Springs. And I was like, I've known Eureka Springs in Arkansas. But then I was like, oh, there's actually like a Hot Springs, Arkansas. So my brain just went there. That was not my own thought, okay? So I say, God, if you just find a way to give me some money by then, because I wasn't trying to dig in on my money to go on this little trip. I was like, ugh, well, if I get blessed with some like surprise money, then I'll go. Baby, when I tell you, it was either the next day or like 2 days later, my sister She's like, what's your PayPal? And I tell her, because I really thought it was like maybe for some, I thought somebody else was going to request money for me for this class we did or something. I don't know. I didn't know. She sends me $300. She's like, I just felt called to give you this money. I said, okay, God, I'm going. So that happened. I booked a beautiful little Airbnb in downtown Hot Springs, Arkansas. It's only 5 hours. This is little oasis, just 5 hours from Oklahoma City, which for me, 5 hours is not that long. For some of y'all, that might be hell. For me, it's fun. And driving through eastern Oklahoma is, to me, the most scenic drive that you can do in Oklahoma. Like driving up north to Kansas, there's really not much. You got windmills, whatever. Driving south to Texas, ghetto. But driving out east, beautiful, beautiful. And I was driving when the sun was coming up. It was just so beautiful and ethereal and divine and so beautiful. Eastern Oklahoma has some great, great treasures. So I get to Hot Springs. And mind you, I did very little research on what Hot Springs really had before I went there. I just knew that's where I was called to go. I knew they had the oldest hotel in Arkansas, and this is a place that gangsters and like just people came through to learn how to gamble back in like early 1900s. It's a very old, ancient place in Arkansas. Okay, very strange, very peculiar, very going. So I get there and I start walking around downtown Hot Springs, and I'm like, this is so cute. The sky was beautiful. The weather was nice. When I say nice, it was probably like 60, 65, nothing crazy. So Hot Springs, Arkansas is known for having healing waters, which was apparent before I went, but it was even more apparent when I was down there. They have these old bathhouses where people would literally come. It's like a spa, and you would soak in these healing waters and do all these other spa treatments and stuff. Like, I went through one of them at the national park, taking it over. It's a museum now. I think it was called the Forsyth Bathhouse. And it's stuck in the 1920s, like truly Madison coded. Like, I was having a ball. I said, nobody else would have appreciated this. Well, other people would have. But like, for me, people want to do like party stuff on New Year's Eve. I said, now this is how I want to spend my New Year's Eve. In a museum that's stuck in the 1920s and highlights the benefits of healing waters. Listen. So I go through and look at all this stuff. I'm walking around. I'm like, this is like a little New York City, micro Las Vegas, low key. And it's one little strip. And I'm like, this is so cool. They have a promenade from like a Bridgerton like promenade built there where you're like walking and you're just strolling. And you could see this ancient hotel. I say ancient, it's 100 years old. Mind you, the hotel's inception was New Year's Eve, 1924. So I was there for the 100-year whatever. So I'm walking around. I'm just like, wow, look at this beauty. Now they have this healing water. These hot springs waters are like over 4,000 years old, naturally heated by the earth. They have these little spouts. They have it trickling in multiple places, and you can literally fill up water. So, and this is another crazy thing. I drink Mountain Valley water. It's my favorite water. It's spring water, right? I always knew it says bottled in the Ouachita Mountains. Didn't know where the headquarters was before I went, but I took 3 bottles with me. Baby, when I got to my Airbnb, it was 2 bottles of this in the fridge. And then there's like a water cooler in the Airbnb too that has this water in. I said, wow, like, okay, the place must be like close by. Like, how cool. Like, this water that has literally helped me heal. If I hear me, I'm like, cool. So I'm walking down the street and I see this building and I say, wait, it says Mountain Valley. The headquarters for Mountain Valley was a block from my area. And they use the same water that is, quote unquote, considered healing water. And I was like, wow, that is so crazy that I went to this place with, no, like, God just called me this place and all these little things were just in alignment for me. Might seem woo-woo to you, but I was like, wow. God is speaking to me through this journey because last year was such a transformative year of healing for me. When I tell you I hit rock bottom and I hit my highest high in the same year, God truly, 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 this is why I say you don't know what God is doing till Because even in my grief, even in me believing that I was never going to heal or that I was going to struggle with something or whatever, I knew God was a God that heals and that promises and that pushes you and that will guide you to your healing. But you have to do part of the work, right? You have to meet him. Faith and works, it's a strange concept because there's sometimes where you just have complete crazy blind faith and it just happens, no work. But then there's sometimes where you have to put in the work because that builds your character and your posture in God. Okay, that is what God did for me last year. I had to truly believe that healing was my birthright and not suffering. I had to truly tell myself, and any time that fear tried to creep in or reactions tried to creep in or I just felt like my life was like whatever, I had to be like, you know what? No, this is a sign that you're healing, you're overcoming, and you choosing left or right in this moment is going to make or break it for you. So you have to keep choosing the way that God wants you to choose, which is belief that better and healing is your birthright. Okay. So I listened to God when he said, go to hot springs. And then me getting there, just everything that happened was just super, super reflective of my year and choosing healing and choosing to become better from all the things that have happened in my life. And my lows and just everything, like choosing to become a better woman, going through things that pruned me into becoming a better woman. Me even doing some unsavory things and making my own mistakes and telling myself, you know what, if you didn't make that mistake, if you didn't say no, if you didn't whatever, you wouldn't have even had the light click in your mind that you have something to work on or this is a place for you to focus some attention on. That's why I say y'all just got to do stuff sometimes, even if it comes out like you were like, dang, I wish I hadn't did that. Actually, no, because you wouldn't have realized if you hadn't have done it. OK, now don't keep repeating the pattern God done told you. OK, listen the first time. But now you know better. And that is the beauty of making mistakes, because when you're conscious and you don't shame yourself for the mistake you made, you learn from it. And that is why I say everything is a lesson or a blessing. And even if it's a lesson, it's still a blessing. Okay? So, hot springs. So the next day, I went to bed at 8 o'clock on New Year's Eve. Proudly. Okay? In the bed. Up early, strolling around, having a good time. So I go to the bathhouse at the Arlington Hotel. And I don't know what I was expecting, but I wasn't expecting my own tub. Like, I thought it was going to be a communal tub. So I get there, I have my little bathing suit on. She's like, no, you got to get, like, naked. And I was like, okay. So there's a boy side and a girl side. So I go to the lady side and I'm naked, butt naked. And there's an attendant there. Sweet, sweet lady. Oh my gosh. Like such sweet auntie energy. Great, great girl. So I go to my little bathhouse room. There's like 30 different little cubbies with the original tubs from the 20s that have been resurfaced. Like they're clean. They're not dirty. And you go in there. You pick your little salt. I picked like a white tea, I think. And you just sit in there and soak for 20 minutes. This is hot healing water from the earth. And then I just sat there and I just let everything from the year just kind of get washed away. Everything that I wanted to leave in 2024, I let that wash away from me. And I just let myself soak and just be in these healing waters. And it was so restorative. And you get out of the healing water and you go straight to the sauna, which sauna has many effects. Sauna has great, great, great effects. If you think about it, we as humans don't sweat as much as we were designed to because we're stationary more than God designed us to. We're supposed to be moving so much more than we move. And there's a really great cancer doctor out there that says that, she said, cancer is manifesting more because people are not moving their bodies the way we're meant to and the way we're designed to. So part of sauna is it's activating those, your lymph system, and it's getting all those toxins out through sweat that you're not getting out because you're not moving enough, right? So you get in the sauna, you dry off, you whatever, and then you lay in this cooling area is what they call it. And you just lay there and cool off. And then after about 5 minutes, they come and wrap your whole body in warm towels, like at the pedicure place, but your whole body. And then you put your face, they cover with a cold towel. And what I tell you, I left out of there feeling so refreshed. I was like, I'm going to come and do this more often. And then I was in there with a bunch of Amish ladies. And the Amish don't play. if the Amish are somewhere where there's like a doctor or some medical or some healing stuff going on, you better believe that's the real deal. And so when they were leaving, I was leaving too, and the lady said, I'll see y'all tomorrow. I said, do they come like every day? She said, yeah, they've been coming all week. I said, what? So I think it's like a ritual thing where you go to these healing waters every day and baby, it's doing something for you. So I said, I'm going to take me a week. I'm going to go do it every day and see how it feels. But I just thought it was so interesting because Amish don't partake it. And I don't want to assume that they were Amish. Maybe they were Mennonite or something else. But from an outsider looking in perspective, they were seemingly Amish or Mennonite. They don't do stuff like that often. So I'm like, wow, this must really be a cool, sacred thing. So I did all that, and then I drove back to OKC on New Year's Day, and I just felt so ready and so motivated and so just ready to take on. I felt prepared. What rang through my head while I was there was 2024 has prepared you. It has pruned you for what all is in store and the beauty and the alignment that's to come in 2025, because you're going to know now. You know better now. That's all I felt. I was like, Madison, you know better now. Like, you are ready to take on this year, whatever it throws at you, because you've been through it. You've been through the storm. You've been through everything. You have the tools now to help yourself and to help others. So I was just blown away by the work God did for me in Hot Springs. And I think it's a place everybody should go visit. I'm so excited to go back with some of my friends and hike and just do some more things. It was so amazing. I didn't get to go to the Glass Chapel because it was closed on New Year's Day, but I did get to go up to the mountain tower that's on top of the national park. And it's just, it was so beautiful. It was so beautiful. Hot Springs just gave me life. And it was great. It was so great. Now, the last thing I want to talk about on this pod today, which I've done a little differently. The microphone's different and the seating's different. I just wanted this to be real conversational today. And I'm on black today. Somebody check on me. Okay, so this book is called The Prophet. It is by Khalil Gibran. I don't know how to say his last name. This book, I had heard about it. I think my sister told me about it last year, and I never got it. So I was at my friend's grandma's estate sale, and I love books. Like, I have a stack of them that I got this week, old books specifically. And I love old books because look how pretty the cover is underneath the paper. It's a hand adorned with gold, and it has people dancing in the hand. And then the little book binding has the starburst, which, you know, I love a little starburst. Anyway, I picked this up the other day. I knew this book was going to be impactful. I think this is a self-portrait of him. I'm not sure. I hope you guys don't think it's a crime that I cut this out. If it is, that's between you and God, because I'm at peace with it. So I pick up this book the other night, and I'm like, I'm just going to read 10 pages, like whatever. I read this in one sitting and immediately knew this was a book I was going to reread for the rest of my life. And not only did it have so many gems and so many like wows, it also reaffirmed the work that God had been doing in me, because the things he was saying in this book, I already knew, or God already planted that seed in me. And I was like, this is a book that everybody should read. So I'm going to flip to a page and read you one. I remember the other day, page 55, it really got to me. So I'm going to go back to that. But this book is so deep that like you would benefit from picking this up probably every year for the rest of your life. And it's going to truly, truly change your life. Okay, it says, say not, I have found the truth, but rather I have found a truth. Say not, I have found the path of the soul. Say rather, I have met the soul walking upon my path, for the soul walks upon all paths. The soul walks not upon a line, neither does it grow like a reed. The soul unfolds itself like a lotus of countless pearls. Baby, that's half a page. Every page in this book has gems like this, okay? Say not, I have found the truth, but rather I have found a truth. And I'm gonna just leave that for y'all to ponder. Okay? Because if being biracial has taught me anything, is that two truths can exist at once. And when you're pondering over your spiritual walk or what your parents tell you is truth or what you tell yourself is truth, I want you to believe that two or more things can exist at one time. Okay? I think I'm going to read a snippet of that book every episode. I think we should. So I want your journal prompt this week to be, what is my truth? what is the truth that my parents or my guardians have told me is the truth? And what truth do I want to live that's going to bring me peace for myself? Not that's going to please my parents, not that's going to please others, but that's going to please me and give me peace in my life. What truth do I want to live? What truth do God and I want to live together? Because you're not going to be alone. You're going to have God with you. And you'll never be alone as long as you walk with God. There is a lyric in a song. It's from the Aretha Gospel album. And I think the pastor on that album said, a man that knows no God knows no peace. He said something like that. I got to look it up. Hold on, because I got it right here. Spotty. Aretha Franklin Gospel, baby. If you haven't listened to that album, this is going to be the song of the week. Yes, Lord. This is my song, Woly Holy, baby. Here it goes.
The only man that walks alone is a man that we'd like to say to you tonight, those of you that know that there is, you'll never walk alone.
And there you have it, folks. That song was Woly Holy live at New Temple Missionary Baptist Church. Amazing Grace, the complete recording by Aretha Franklin. Now, there's a couple of them, so make sure the cover looks like this, and it's that version of Woly Holy, okay? Great album. Will bring you to tears. Anyway, have an amazing week on our social media. Share these messages with people that you think should hear them, okay? Plant a seed in somebody's life today. I'm working on posting longer clips with, like, things that hit harder because I want to reach so many people, and I just don't care how it happens. I'm not doing this for anything other than to help the masses, because I love you all. Have an amazing week.